Well, good evening. Thank you for being here this evening. If you will, take your Bibles and open up to the Gospel of Luke. We're going to read some verses there, actually probably quite a few, Luke chapter 15. You know, I kind of wanted this lesson here to kind of go along with the lesson from this morning, you know, speaking about burnout, depression, and so on, but it's entitled "A God Who Runs." Have you ever daydreamed, perhaps, about finding some buried treasure? You know, as a kid, I dreamed of that. You know, digging in the backyard and maybe finding a dime or a nickel. Back when you're a kid, you know, a dime, for my time anyway, a dime and a nickel, man, you could go to town. You get 10 pieces of penny candy. They don't sell penny candy today, do they? Find a nickel and a dime, you could actually go buy you a Coke and still have enough money to buy 5 pieces of penny candy. I appreciate Brother Mike reading Proverbs chapter 2. I want us to look at Proverbs chapter 2, verse 2 and 4, or 2 through 4. "So that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding, if thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and search for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Do we truly seek after God's word as if it were buried treasure? You know, we've all heard the expression, you know, that there are some things that money can't buy. But in this lesson, I want to share with you one of those things that is a treasure greater than gold. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in the field, that the which a man hath found. He hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath to buy that field." You know, I kind of imagine this man searching out. He sees that there's a for sale sign for a plot of ground, so he goes out and he starts investigating and looking at the boundaries and seeing if there's a lot of things that need to be removed to make it into a field that can be planted, or if there's trees and perhaps a place where they could put a pond in. And you know, but then all of a sudden, he finds a great treasure. And it says here that the man took and hid it, and then went and sold everything he owned to buy that ground because of the hid treasure. You know, when we look and read and study our Bibles, we see that many times that man is running. You know, when one thinks of running in the Bible, more often than not, they're thinking of running as a response of man. And as I stated, within the pages of our Bibles, we can see men running from God and men running to God. One of the best examples of running away from God is Jonah. You know, God told Jonah, "Hey, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach against them." Well, Jonah wasn't stupid. He'd heard of Nineveh. He heard how evil that city was, how evil the residents were. He had heard of all of those that went and died because of the evil that was there. And we all know the story. What happened? Well, but Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Yeah, Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. But you know, then the great storm come about. The sailors were all afraid that all was going to be lost. Jonah finally confesses, hey, you know, this is all about me. And, you know, just chuck me overboard and everything will be fine. Well, what happened? He swallowed up by that big fish. And he was there for 3 days and three nights. I think it's correct. I don't know about you, but if I've been swallowed by a big fish and sat down there in its belly for 3 days and three nights, I think I'd listen to God. Well, we all know the story. Spewed out onto the beach, and Jonah ran to Nineveh and preached, told them to repent, and he goes out, he sits down, then he becomes upset because God didn't bring down fire from heaven and burn the place to the ground. They repented. Jonah didn't like it. That's man running away from God. Even though in the end he'd done exactly what God told him to do, but in the beginning he ran from God. But then we can see people running to God. Acts chapter 10 and verse 23. Then called he them in and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Again, you all probably know the story here. Cornelius. He was a good man. Gave alms, prayed. But he was still lost. So he was told to send to Joppa for Peter. And, you know, Peter was up on the rooftop having this daytime dream about, you remember, the sheets coming down? Told to eat. Peter says, no, Lord, nothing unclean's ever touched my lips. Well, it turns out, you all know, Peter went with the men to Joppa, or went with the men from Joppa, went to Cornelius, and preached unto him Jesus Christ, and him crucified. These two characters here, Jonah and Peter, they're basically at polar opposites. Jonah was forced to do what God commanded. Peter, on the other hand, once he understood what God was trying to tell him, he went wholeheartedly. Now, this is concerning men running away from God and men running to God. But consider this. Consider the value of a God who runs. If you will take your Bibles again to Luke chapter 15. And you're going to know this here. Luke chapter 15. We're going to start reading in verse 11. Luke 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to certain of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did not eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am not worthy. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But notice this. But when he was yet a great way off, his father seeth him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Here we see two individuals. The first one, known as the prodigal son, he left his father's house. He ran. You know, this is a parable comparing God and sinners. The young man fled. He ran, and he went to a far country, and he lived riotously, and he spent all that he had. But it says that he come to himself. He woke up, said, you know what? This is crazy. I'm literally starving to death. And in my father's house, the servants have bread even more than they need. So I'm going to return to my father and basically let him know that I was wrong, what I had done. I repent. Just make me one of your hired servants. But did you see what the father did? Now the father here is to represent God. He's seen his erring son from afar off. And he ran. He ran to him. Now we can go on and read the rest of the chapter. We see that the older brother all of a sudden heard the music and the dancing and called the servant, Wait, man, what's going on? What's the party all about? Well, your brother's home. And your dad, you know, killed the fatted calf. And they're celebrating. Well, guess what? The older brother was kind of upset. Now, the parable of the prodigal son has several applications. The first one is the angle of the prodigal son to consider. He ran from his father. You know, the lessons about a God who runs. Prodigal son ran from his father, but when the prodigal son returned, the father ran to him. There's an angle about the older brother. Now, stop and think about this. This older brother, if you read there, basically said, for many years I've done everything that you've commanded. I've not broke one commandment that you've given me. But never once did you give me a kid so I could make merry with my friends. His older brother basically got mad at his daddy. He said, you know, you never done this for me, and look, I've been with you forever. He was jealous. You know, let's put this in the aspect of the Father being God, and both of the sons are us. How many times do we see people that perhaps come forward, and they come forward quite often? Do we celebrate? Do we rejoice? Or do we say, oh boy, not again? That's the mentality of the older brother. Hey, I've been here all along. Why don't you let me celebrate? Why don't you let me enjoy, you know, a kid with my friends? But you know, if you read there, the father says, look, everything I have is yours. Yes, you've been faithful. I understand that. And everything I have is yours. But your brother was dead. Now he's alive. He ran back to me. And I'm rejoicing. And the other angle is about the father to consider. The prodigal son ran from the father. The older brother got mad at his father. That'd be like us getting mad at God because someone has repented over and over and over and over and over and over. And then the father. He ran and fell on his son's neck, kissed him, and ordered a robe and a ring and shoes. I imagine the prodigal son looked a sight coming back to his father. You know, when we sin, we look a sight, don't we? Just imagine what that prodigal son looked like after feeding the swine in the fields and eating the husks, the stuff that the pigs wouldn't even eat. But once the son repented, all of that is taken away. Given a robe, a ring, and shoes. And he's not looked upon as a servant. He's looked upon again as a son. Now, considering all of these three angles, the point about the father running to his son might not get all of the attention that it deserves, but it does. It needs to be looked at and understood. Luke 15 and verse 20. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, the father saw him and had compassion. Had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Not as though, and this is Paul, not as though I had already attained, either was already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Paul says, I'm not perfect. I'm struggling. I've not already attained it. I'm not perfect. But he said he's been apprehended of Christ Jesus. Had his sins washed away. And I think one of the greatest and exciting stories Well, actually, it's not a story. It's a true fact. It's Acts chapter 7 and verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. This is Stephen. As they was wailing the stones at him, stoning him to death, he looked up and saw the glory of God and Jesus Christ himself standing. You know, that's the only place we see that. Was Stephen running to God or away from God? Was Jonah running to God or away from God? What about Peter? You know, one time Peter ran, but as the prodigal son, he returned. We need to give thanks to God that he is a God who runs. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is willing to forgive even when we sin and when we fall short of his glory? When we turn our backs on him, just as the prodigal son turned his back on his father and his elder brother? In our lives, how should we react when we find sin in our lives? Should we act like Jonah and try to run and hide? Or should we act like Peter? Act like the prodigal son? Come to our senses and return to God. This evening, if you're here, if you're needing prayer, now's the time. God is waiting. Would you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
Have thine affections been nailed to the cross?